I'll waste my time and I'll burn my mind. Part 4 of the Iron Lady series. Written by Shelf the Wind. Read by Dr. Fumbles McStupid. Summary. Shut up, kid, she tells him. Let me work or I'll blowtorch your fingers off. He rolls his eyes at her instead of being scared and perches on a stool to watch her work. Covers Iron Man 3. It's not the first time she wakes screaming, but it is the first time that she snaps awake, flat on her back, with Pepper and her Mark P fighting off one of her suits. Tony shouts something unintelligible at Jarvis. The suit instantly turns off, falling to the floor like a child's toy. Pieces spinning off under the bed, beneath the dresser, tumbling against the window. Pepper's thrusters sputter and die, and she hits the floor too. She tears the helmet off. It had been Tony's idea to implant the trackers for the Mark P. Pepper hadn't liked it, but she'd acceded. Tony rocks her head back against the floor and lays a hand over her eyes. Fuck, she says. It's the only thing she can say, to be honest. Yeah. Pepper's voice is ice. Fuck. Her nightmares have changed. She still has the one about Yinsen. Still sees him with his bloody necklace, the stones raining down around them, the flames as she burns the world to the ground, the whirling blue of the reactor. Now, when she's tugged into its gravitation, pulled into its orbit, she falls through into space. She can't breathe. The suit is crushing her. Everything is gone. She sees the space station explode, and she's pierced through with stars. Sometimes, Yinsen turns into Obi. On those nights, she returns to the lab, picking at her new suits, scratching away with a mind that's honed too thin, can't do anything more than cut. Sometimes, she wakes up to find a blanket over her shoulders, and coffee and a thermos on her desk. But more and more often lately, she doesn't sleep at all. The Mandarin means nothing to her, until he means everything. She can hear Pepper talking somewhere in the distance, but she just stands. She stands and stares into Happy's hospital room, where he's lying bruised and broken on the mattress, and she hates. She thinks that she'll turn all to hate in that moment, vitriol and bile. She'll turn into hydrochloric acid and melt through the floor and through the earth, burning everything that touches her. She buys the whole of Downton Abbey so far, and pays the nurse to have them play it on repeat in his room. Maybe that'll wake him up. She's forgotten Aldrich Killian when she sees him at Stark Industries. He gives her a once-over, like her father's business partner used to when she was 15. Then he turns and walks away, and she feels slighted, though she shouldn't. She curses herself and turns back to talk to a security guard. She thinks, later, that she's an idiot, but she's met so many people in her life that she could populate a small country with them. She's not sure it matters. After all, she barely even remembers Maya Henson, and she's pretty sure she broke the woman's orgasm record. She's still proud of that. She can remember her dad going over the top, ostentatious, completely shallow bullshit to apologize to Maria when he did something wrong. Rather, when he did something that made Maria upset, which was probably wrong. But he refused to admit it, and he just wanted to smooth it over. Tony is not her father. But when Pepper looks at her like she's breaking, she wants to buy the whole world to make it better, even though she can remember that look on Maria's face too. She already knows it won't help anything. The hurt won't go away. She doesn't want it buried. I don't remember you being this foolish as a child, says Peggy in her hospice bed. She's scowling. I suppose that's your father coming out in you. Tony tips her chair back. She hasn't slept in 3 days. Which is probably the only reason she thought it was a good idea to drop by the old folks' home. She's allergic to old people and baby powder. She can already feel the hives rising. I'm not foolish. I'm awesome. In fact, I am made of awesome. Don't talk like a Brit. I am English, darling, says Peggy with sweet venom, as is your electronic butler. Yeah, but Jarvis makes sure I get orange juice in the morning. You just judge me. Sometimes it's good to be judged. Peggy lifts her eyes to the ceiling. It's the only way you start to improve. Are you saying I'm not perfect? I think you already know the answer to that. Tony drops her chair back to the floor again with a thunk. You're a horrible human being. You're going to make me break out. Stress is bad for me. I get acne flare-ups, and my media consultant is going to hit me over the head with a razor blade. I'll name you as the murderer. Write your name out in blood on the wall. Wouldn't be the first time, says Peggy, and begins to cough. Tony gets her water. Then she gets the fuck out of the hospice. Like she said, old people. Hives. Muy no bueno. When she wakes up, she has no idea what the fuck has happened. The suit is crumbling. She hits the ground with enough force to shake her teeth out of her skull, and Jarvis shatters around her head. Then he reforms himself. After they've slid to a stop, he says, "Oh dear." Then he's gone, and she's terribly alone. Mandarin, she thinks. She can remember the Mark P flying to Pepper's defense, but she can't remember the rest. She must have fallen. Fuck me up the ass with a sandblaster. I hate you, Jarvis, she tells the dead suit. Then she shimmies out of it, tank top and booty shorts, so not snow weather, and starts hunting around for a way to carry his dumb ass, because it's the only way she'll keep herself from imagining Pepper dead and crumbled on the rocks at the bottom of the cliff. Things Tony Stark hates with a fiery passion that will never be denied. Children. People have told her, all her life, that she'll want them eventually. They've talked about her biological clock, her natural female instincts, the birds and the bees. She thinks children are the scum of the earth. Shitty, shit-assed, snot-nosed, screaming ragdolls of incompetence and awkward stains. Creatures that break your stuff and never pay you back for it. Little monsters that wreck your life and keep you from even having one in the first place. Which is why she's irritated with herself for finding this manipulative little shit to be even somewhat endearing. Current status, 94% irritation, 3% consideration, and 3% endearment. It's a ratio she's willing to live with, so long as she has to be in this ass-crack bubble-fuck town. Shut up, kid, she tells him. Let me work, or I'll blowtorch your fingers off. He rolls his eyes at her instead of being scared, and perches on a stool to watch her work. She refuses to think that her dad might have felt the same way. Once upon a time, she refuses. She really fucking hates extremis. She hates the tang it leaves in the air, like rotting oranges, like fire. She hates the way it fucks with your DNA. Killian did a good fucking job with his serum or whatever the fuck it is. She has to admit that. The ferocious chemistry of it is intense, awe-inspiring, gut-wrenching. It rewrites the entirety of you, makes you different. Makes you over. But first, you must pass through the molten crucible. She hears Pepper screaming and imagines raking Aldrich's fucking Killian eyes out with her fingernails. She'd roll them like grapes and serve them to him on a silver platter. Miami sucks. Tony avoids Florida for a reason. She hates the weather, hates the hurricanes. The cities feel like they're falling down around their ears. Also, CSI Miami exists. And there is no reason to ever visit a place with a man named Horatio living in it. She curses Jarvis and tells him to hurry the fuck up. Real Jarvis was better than AI Jarvis, she thinks, glaring at the guards. One of them looks like he wants to touch her nipple ring. At least Edwin Jarvis knew how to keep to a motherfucking schedule. She doesn't know what happens, but Killian has Pepper. She doesn't know if Pepper can reach the Mark P, doesn't know if the suit is destroyed or kept powered down or whatever the fuck else. But she knows that Pepper is in pain and she can't reach her. Pepper's always in pain because of Tony, and Tony can never reach her. She hits the wall of the Miami house over and over again. Maya Hansen's blood is still on the floor. Rhodey catches her fist and folds his hand over it. Her knuckles catch against the calluses of his palms. Don't be an idiot, he says, sounding very Rhodey-ish. Grow the fuck up, Stark. She bares her teeth at him. They're bloody. One of the guards punched her in the face. Lucky fucking shot. Like my dick? He lets go of her hand. That sounds more like you. I'm going to rip that bastard's fucking balls off, she says, and she glances back at the house, where Maya Hansen's body lies, before turning away. And then I'm going to feed them to him. His fingers, too. And his ears. And his eyes. Some Princess Bride shit all up in this. I don't think that ever happened in The Princess Bride. Clearly, she thinks, Rhodey never read the book. The president is an afterthought, and a vague one at that. She wonders if she's a bad American for not keeping him at the forefront of her mind. Probably. Still, Tony Stark is bad at a lot of things. She's probably worse at more things than she's good at, so she doesn't care overly much. So your dad left you? She tells Harley that night in the snow. So what? He doesn't fucking matter. The people who leave never do. The best way you can show his ass up is to be better than him. And that way, no one will ever think of him again. They'll only think of you. Harley gives her a long look, as if he's seeing something about her that he recognizes. Then he says, "Is that what you do?" Tony opens her mouth, and then closes it again. For the first time she can remember, she doesn't know what to say. That's answer enough. After the ship, she doesn't gain new nightmares. Instead, they all fuse into one ending. Yinsen's noose, Obi's face, the stars, the reactor, and all of it turns into Pepper falling into flame. Her dreams never get as far as the Mark P swooping out of nowhere to snatch her away from it. In her dreams, Pepper falls, and nothing Tony has ever done can save her. She wakes screaming, and Pepper wraps her in warmth, and skin, and hair. It doesn't stop the dreams. She's home again. Pepper is here. Curled against her, shaking. She's scorching to the touch. Still stung all over with bruises from the Mark P and injection marks from the Extremis. And her fair skin is flaming hot. Pepper heaves a little in her arms, like she's going to be sick. She must love this woman, Tony thinks, because not even that will make her let go. Not fair, Tony says, but she can barely hear herself. She's reveling in Pepper, the smell of her, the warmth, like a fever, like a dream. You get a suit and superpowers. I demand at least one. You are very threatening now. Shut up, Pepper says. Her voice cracks. Shut up. You're not helpful. You are very not helpful. Super threatening, the most badass. She kisses Pepper's cheek, her jaw, the edge of her mouth. She is not going to cry. Seriously, so fucking badass. I wish someone had been filming. You beamed the motherfucker with a pipe. We need self-defense classes. Pepper hiccups, and her lungs heave again. She's trying not to scream. Self-defense. I want kickboxing. And Muay Thai boxing. And actual boxing. Ninja skills. Tony presses her nose to Pepper's bare collarbone. The only redhead ninja in America. You can get a plaque made. You are not making me a plaque. I am so making you a plaque. Jarvis, order a plaque. Belay that order, Jarvis. Tony's voice closes up. She works her throat. Then she says, Jarvis, initiate self-destruct protocol. The suits burst like pustules, like fireworks. Happy Christmas, she says, the way Peggy Carter taught her to. And then both she and Pepper break down into ridiculous tears. Pepper's new office is very Spartan, barely touched with anything personal. But there are three very important things inside. The first is an EpiPen, filled with a temporary antidote to Extremis. Pepper's elected to keep the powers, and the tracking beacons for the Mark P, but she doesn't want to blow up Stark Tower either. I think 15% of this one is mine, she says, playing with Tony's fingers. Better than the Avengers Tower. But the Avengers Tower has jacuzzi bathtubs. No, Tony. The second thing is the helmet of the first Mark P. Battered, bruised. She keeps it on her windowsill like some kind of fucked up planter. It's fucking creepy. Tony tells her so. Pepper doesn't give a shit. The third thing is a framed photograph from Peggy Carter's 11th birthday, or whatever the fuck it was. Tony doesn't remember. Streamers and party hats and a laughing Peggy Carter, surrounded by Pepper Potts and Carter Spawn. Tony's in the corner, drinking tequila with a party hat tipped lopsidedly over her hair. It's a fucking awesome photo, but Tony will never admit it. She thinks that's probably why Pepper keeps it. She touches the raw, healing skin over her heart, where the reactor used to be. She does not smile. "Hey, babe," Tony says. "You ever think about being an Avenger?"
Miss so soon, like a bottle of pain. Miss Matter, you had her, now she's going away.